Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
For Bills fans. Let's go, Buffalo! By Bills fans.
Only Buffalo is going to win it!
This is the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast with Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn and Alex Jones.
This place is pandemonium!
Here's Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn.
And welcome back for another edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Brad the Bruiser Eichhorn, Alex Jones, joining you after unhappiness happened in South Beach. Buffalo gets smoked by the Miami Dolphins in a game that, Alex, you brought it up right before we signed on here tonight. We didn't do a podcast last week, so I kind of feel responsible here that that loss is on us.
Hand up, Brad. That's on us.
I mean, there's a variety of things that went wrong. One, no podcast. Two, I do a weekly picks at my work, and I usually do pick against the Bills, but I picked them this time because, like, oh, yeah, they'll beat Miami. Nope. That's another strike. And then strike three was if I go out to a restaurant to watch the Bills game, they lose. Went to our favorite wing joint in Western New York, and they lost. So, I mean, no podcast. Pick the Bills.
I mean, it was against us, Brad. Everything was, you know?
Everything was. But going back to this game, Alex, I feel like in this game, did the Bills lose the game? Or did it feel more like that they beat themselves? I feel like Buffalo beat themselves in this game.
I would agree, Brad. It just looked like a sloppy performance, you know, top to bottom. Nobody really played. Actually, ironically, I think the defense played the best out of anybody. And even they didn't play a perfect game. But, you know, when the offense isn't doing anything, it's hard to be productive when you're back on the field relatively quickly. Also, just the thing of, like, it's one of those things where the Bills just really just sat the bed there. You know, it was kind of a classic Bills performance, which we haven't seen from them in years. And I have to wonder if there is something up with the fact that the Bills, like, the coordinators in their first year look amazing, and the coordinators in the second year look atrocious.
That's true. I mean, look at Ken Dorsey, first year's OC, offense looked good. Granted, they had Stephon Diggs, but then in, you know, year two, the wheels came off. He gets fired. I thought Babbage looked good last year. This year, I mean, the defense can't stop the run whatsoever. Achan smoked him in this one. I mean, yeah, there's a variety of things gone wrong in this one here for the Buffalo Bills.
And I think part of it, too, was, I mean, the defense is its own can of worms, to be honest with you. This is the same thing that happened last year. The Bills were down to plumbers and electricians out there on the defensive line. I mean, you had two guys who were previously on the practice squad out there. So it's one of those things where it's like, I like that one, I understand. Like, it's difficult to go against a team, especially a team like Mike McDaniels, you know, like he runs, that is exceptional in the run game.
Well, the other thing is anytime the Bills seem to get anything going offensively, they just shoot themselves in the foot. James Cook, here's a big run. Oh, fumbled. Josh Allen sneaking up the middle. Oh, fumble. Driving down the field near the end zone. Interception. I mean, anytime they got something going in this one, it just came undone.
Absolutely, Brad. And that was the tough part was, you know, if, again, like you said at the top of the podcast, the Bills were their own worst enemy. This was not. I mean, Miami played fine, but you have to think if the Bills are on their A game, that game is a route for Buffalo.
Yes. Yep, 100% in this one. They had everything going, and then it just came undone. And, yeah, it was ultimately an ugly, ugly loss. But, you know, these things happen. This is the NFL, where even the best teams in the NFL have a dog day afternoon. They played like dogs. They were just absolutely atrocious. And that's the bottom line. Really, really bad football game here in Week 10. But we turn the page here. I don't want to dwell on the loss too much here. Second time they play the Dolphins, I don't think they'll face the Dolphins again because I still don't see the Dolphins making the playoffs this year. So they turn the page. Here's Tampa Bay, a team who came off a loss to now well in front here, New England, who comes in at 8-2, playing the Jets on Thursday Night Football. And they had a pretty convincing win over Tampa. Tampa came back towards the end, but it was not meant to be. And with that, New England gets a win over Tampa. So Tampa coming to Western New York this weekend. And I feel like this is a game where Buffalo can get their feet right, but still a lot to be concerned of on the injury report as of right now.
Yeah, and, you know, that's it. You know, I heard it best. I was speaking to my uncle, and he's like, this team feels like a team that you're like, hey, yeah, we're the sixth seed. But guess what? Everybody on our team is currently healthy. And you know what? They just need to get healthy at the right time. Like, genuinely, they feel like that team that's like, oh, they're healthy. They won their last three games. Oh, you didn't win the division. Cool. It's still Super Bowl or bust. That's what we care about. And you go in there, win a couple playoff games. All of a sudden, you get hot. And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, now this team's dangerous.
Let's run across the injury report right now here for the Buffalo Bills. Looking at the Thursday report, lots of full participants who were limited the day prior. This includes Christian Benford, Terrell Bernard, Joey Bosa, AJ Epinesa, Teron Johnson, all full participants today. The list continues here. Joshua Palmer, who's been out since that Atlanta game, full participant. Jordan Phillips, TJ Sanders, who's still on IR, but that's good news. He's practicing here. Khalil Shakir, Shaq Thompson, and Doran Williams, all full participants. That's the good news. The bad news right now, Dalton Kincaid went out with a hamstring injury, did not come back into the ball game. He has not practiced this week. I'd say his status is doubtful in this one. And Cam Lewis, who battled a calf injury, I think he went down later in that game, limited this week. On the opposite side of the ball here for Tampa Bay right now, guard Ben Bredesen. He hasn't practiced this week. Reddick hasn't practiced this week. Anthony Nelson has been out with an illness. We'll see. Something to monitor there. Chris Godwin, if I can say it right, third time's the charm, limited this week, so we'll see if he's back after battling a fibula injury this year. Bucky Irving has been limited with a foot shoulder injury, and then Via Watts and Winfield Jr. all limited this week. So both teams battling some injuries at this point here, and I think for both of these squads, this is a game where you get right.
Absolutely. It's a matchup of two, you know, of the top echelon of football teams in the NFL right now, Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen, playing high-level football, except for, you know, a couple mistakes here and there. And you know what? It's the time for these teams to, like you said, Brad, get right, get back at it, and show that, hey, we are one of the top dogs. And the loser of this game is kind of on thin ice. It is a difficult situation.
You know, and I feel like this almost goes back to the conversation that you and I had pre-Kansas City, where it's going to bode well for the winner and it's going to bode unfortunate for the loser. Obviously, Kansas City won last week, but... you know, I think in this one, it's going to sting if you lose here. So I hate to say it, if you're the Buffalo Bills, but after the way last week went, they can't afford to have another game like that. Not in this season, not now nipping at New England's heels. I don't know. Is that an overreaction here, Alex?
No, it's not. I think that it's sort of when, like, every game is a must win. Every, you know, it is, hey, the playoffs start this week. The playoffs for us start now. We need everything to go our way. And even then, we might not get lucky with it.
I mean, there's still so much season left to play that I feel like, looking back through it, I feel like different seasons remind us of other seasons. If you want to compare it recently, I'm going to say, what was it, the 2023 season where, Buffalo basically was nipping at the heels of the Dolphins throughout the entire season and ultimately found a way into the postseason at the very, very last week. Kind of reminds me of that 2023 season.
Yeah, I would agree with that, Brad. I mean, even with the bad loss, like, this feels a little bit like that Denver Broncos game where the Broncos never should have been in it. They stayed in it the whole time, won at the last second. That game, the Bills' offense just looks slightly better, and I think that's the difference between the two. The Bills' offense had shown even a little bit of a pulse. I think the Bills pull away with a win there.
So, I don't know. Big game coming up here, a 1 o'clock kickoff from Highmark Stadium, and I think the concern going into this one, we saw how wet it was, and maybe the weather had something to do with the ball being slick out there. We didn't see the other Florida team here in Miami, turn the ball over from a weather standpoint, at least fumbling. It was some lousy picks by a mediocre quarterback, set it to a Tua Viola. In this one here, weather could get bad. It's supposed to be a rainy afternoon.
Yeah, and you know what, Brad? That doesn't bode well for the offense. I think there's going to be some, don't get me wrong, I think there's going to be some opportunities to pound the rock. I mean, Vita Vea is one of the best nose tackles in football. But, it also feels like the Bills' offensive line just kind of sleptwalked through that game. I'm almost wondering a little bit if the Bills were looking ahead to this game and didn't take the Dolphins seriously. And it was one of those times where it's like, hey, we needed to get going. I mean, also, again, you had widespread injuries, and, the wide receivers have not looked like, what we thought preseason. But at the same time, it's also one of those things where when you're down to thirds and speaking on the Mecole Hardman signing, like getting a little speed in there, maybe get him going early, try to get a couple pass plays to him where he's open deep, give you something different. But we really haven't seen them like stretch the ball down the field at all. But also, I think there's also just a lot of Doomer fans right now. I was looking at something on Reddit the other day. This fan had like transposed, gone on like the All 22 film and like drawn like pictures of like, see, he was open here, he was open here. And you're like, somebody commented underneath it, like, there's no context to these. Like, a couple of these, if Josh throws it, it's either a pick or it's a murder ball to the wide receiver. Like, it's a multifaceted issue. I think, is it a chicken or the egg situation, Brad? Were the wide receivers not creating separation, so now Josh doesn't trust his wide receivers, and now he's hesitant to throw balls because he knows the wide receivers aren't getting there, and he knows he needs to play? Or is it the thing where are the wide receivers not getting open because Josh isn't throwing them the football?
Well, and then my other criticism with that type of analysis as well is, it's not through Josh's eyes. So when Josh is looking here, what's the angle like? What's he seeing? Is he seeing that safety drift in? Is he watching the linebacker creep back? What's it from Josh's perspective? It's so easy to go from a bird's eye type view and pick something apart, but I don't think that works in reality.
No, and that's the thing, is that like there's also 50 different things we don't know about in their meetings, right? Did they see that, hey, when they're in a cover three match, the safety likes to cheat over the top, so don't throw the football because he likes to fly in there? And you're like, well, if this guy loves to jump those routes, then you know what? I mean, also, Brad, this is not for nothing. Jordan Poyer on the Dolphins last season loses both games against the Bills. This year, Jordan Poyer on the Bills for one of the two games loses the game. Just a weird trend, you know what I mean? Just a weird trend. Not saying it's anything, but I'm just saying that is an odd situation.
Well, if you are going to this game on Sunday afternoon, to quote Mr. Peterson in my favorite sitcom, Seinfeld, better bring a poncho. Considerable cloudiness with occasional rain showers, a few flurries or snow showers possible, as well temps steady near the mid to upper 30s. So it's going to be cold and it's going to be wet. So I recommend if you're going this one, definitely. Ponchos are 100% necessary. And for me, if I was going to this one, I won't put up with a rain game. I was at that end of the season Jet game in 2019 where Buffalo already had it sewed up and you just sat in the cold rain and it was miserable. I didn't want to put myself to that risk, so I hate to be a fair weathered fan, so to speak. But no, I'm going to be cozied up on the couch with a blanket. And Alex, I know we had spoken before you were going to this one. Is that still on point this weekend?
No, I actually ended up giving this one to the in-laws as a birthday present, so they're going to be going to the game.
All right, so I hope you are comfortable, you are cozy in this one, and you're able to enjoy this one as well, because temperatures, conditions, everything, it looks very unfavorable. Chance of rain in this one at 50%. So this is one where you're probably going to get cold, you're going to get wet, but luckily it's an early afternoon game, so if you can get that hot shower ready, if you got the jacuzzi, do it, because you're probably going to need to warm yourself up and dry off after this one.
Absolutely, Brad. That's one you want to bring a change of shot, a change of everything in the car once you get there.
When we went to that Jet game, my brother and I, we were living in Pennsylvania at the time. We drove up, and we were just absolutely drenched. We were staying in a hotel out near the airport, so we literally took all our clothes, threw them in a coin-operated dryer. They had a jacuzzi, and we went and warmed up in the jacuzzi. And by nighttime, we were ready to go out and grab a bite to eat. But it took some effort to revitalize after something like that. Not to completely wimpify ourselves, but yeah, we were totally wimpy that day.
Absolutely. That's what rain will do to you, though.
It will. It's slightly demoralizing to the human emotion at that point, to sound totally cheesy here. All right, well, let's go ahead and preview this Sunday afternoon matchup against the team from the NFC South. But before we do, reminder to across our social media platforms, find us throughout Twitter. Follow Alex at TW Callahan DHS. You can follow me at Bill Root and follow the site here at DHS Buffalo. Find us online at facebook.com/Buffalo Bills Draft House or drafthousesports.com. All right, so Tampa and Buffalo, it is going to be on Fox. Jason Benetti and Brady Quinn on the call on this one. So interesting call, excuse me, and it's not on Fox. It's actually on CBS, but yep, that'll be the Bills announcers in this 1 o'clock kickoff.
Yeah, that is a weird announcing crew.
I know Brady Quinn, Jason Benetti. I'm sure I've heard him announce a number of sporting events, but his name does not ring any bells to me.
No, it does not.
All right, so Brady Quinn, the former Brown, the former obviously played for Notre Dame, brother-in-law of A.J. Hawk. He played for the Broncos at one point. Brady Quinn was a little bit of a journeyman.
Yeah, a guy who really bounced around quite a bit. A guy who looked like at one point in college he was the next big thing and kind of just fell apart.
I mean, since Joe Montana, has it really been a Notre Dame quarterback who panned out in the NFL? I can't name any off the top of my head. And I'm not trying to throw shade at Notre Dame right now. Being a Purdue fan, self-admittedly, I hate Notre Dame. But outside of Joe Montana, I can't name, I'm sure I'm forgetting someone, but a recent quarterback out of the Domers who was worth anything in the NFL outside of a journeyman.
Yeah.
All right. Well, coming to this game, Tampa comes in at 24.4 points per game, right in the middle of the pack at 328 yards a game. Ninth, Buffalo still, you know, high in time of possession, high in yards per game, high in points per game. But their sacks, Buffalo is, they're like head and head. They have one less sack than Tampa on the season. Tampa has 26, Buffalo has 25. A deceptive stat right there. But in the turnover differential, Buffalo is 12th. Tampa Bay comes in at second in the NFL. So I think you go old school on this one. Protect the football. Get some turnovers. Don't turn the football over. Control time of possession. Just get out a win in this one.
Yeah. I mean, that's it, Brad. Win the time of possession. Control the ball. Force them to make everything. And that's how you leave with a win. And to be honest with you, Buffalo needs to get back on track. It doesn't need to be a blowout win, but it does need to be a win.
And to throw out one of our favorite Buffalo Bill-isms, when James cooks, everyone eats. Feed James Cook the rock. That's my request.
Absolutely, Brad.
James Cook coming in. I mean, he had that ugly fumble in this one, but, you know, Derrick Henry had a bad fumble in week one, and Buffalo found a way to win. It happens to the best players in this league. That doesn't concern me in this one. I really like what James Cook has done over the course of this year. Obviously, he earned that contract. He's just shy of 1,000 yards rushing. That's amazing at this point. He's on a path to the Pro Bowl right now. 7 touchdowns, tied only on the team with Josh Allen. So, I mean, James Cook has been cooking this year, and I'd like to see him get the football a lot in this game.
I completely agree, Brad. I think you got to get him 10, 15, 20 touches in this game if you're going to be successful.
From the receiving standpoint, we talked about it before. There's rumors that they were trying to get a first round out of the Jets for, I believe it was Garrett Wilson. And I understand
that. Quinnen Williams.
Oh, it was Quinnen Williams. And that, well, they offered.
It was Quinnen Williams and Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, and Jalen Waddle, they offered a first round pick to Miami, and both teams said no. I mean, I can't blame them for not wanting to trade within the division, but I don't know. It was a shame that nothing came out of the trade deadline, so I'm curious, do they talk to someone like Amari Cooper and say, hey, you were here, any chance you want to come back and feed us a few, like they got John Brown and Cole Beasley to do a couple years ago, or is this the roster and we're just going to have wide receivers who can't separate?
Yeah, I think that's sort of the gist of it, Brad, is that maybe that's the idea of bringing in Mecole Hardman. Maybe we see a little more of Elijah Moore out there, who early in camp looked like he was going to be a darling, and now I don't think we've seen him one time.
It's promising that Jordan Palmer has been practicing this week, because I think having him out there is vital, that he's looked like one of the better guys catching the football this year, the more consistent, minimal drops. That's a guy I expect them to target quite a bit in this one, is Jordan Palmer.
Yeah. Joshua Palmer is going to be out there.
I think Joshua.
Jordan Palmer is the brother of Carson Palmer, who was on the
Yes, back. Thank you. And Josh's quarterback coach, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. I think Joshua Palmer is going to be more of a thing. He started to look a little good. He was getting open a little bit in that Atlanta game. And I'm wondering if they're going to start scheming him open a little bit, focus on him while, you know, unfortunately, Kincaid seems like he's going to be down with a soft tissue injury.
How about Terrell Shavers? I feel like a guy that we've seen him get open, but he hasn't gotten the targets. Then I'm wondering if maybe he can get some targets in this one. Basically, I'm saying, how about this guy? How about that guy? How about everybody except Keon Coleman?
Just try to get everybody in there.
I don't know. I'm so lost on Keon Coleman at this point that it's so early. There's so much to go. He can still develop here. But I feel like as a fan, I've lost the patience on Keon Coleman.
Yeah, I think there's a lot going on.
Mentally eating himself?
I don't know. I'll be honest, Brad. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. I think that he needs to work his speed next year and, you know, a lot of separation technique, because there have been a lot of wide receivers with his similar archetype in the NFL, right? Bigger guys who are still able to create separation. And I'm just wondering if maybe it's you know, the wide receivers coach there isn't working as well with him or something like that, because it just feels like, it almost feels like he doesn't, at times, not that he doesn't care while he's on the field, but there's no urgency. Like, a lot of our wide receivers, honestly, outside of Kincaid, there hasn't been a lot of urgency. He's like, well, Josh will stay alive and eventually we'll get open. And it's like, hey, you need to actually go out there and really attack the football. Like, you are just sitting there doing nothing. But then again, also, it's feels like I'm taking crazy pills. But the Bills are 6-3 right now. Like, you know what I mean? If you have heard the way fans talk about this team, you would expect this team to be 1-7. We are 6-3. We are still one of the top teams in the NFL. And so it's one of those things where it's like, are there parts broken right now? Yes. But there is not a single contender who looks unbroken.
Defensively this week, where do you put it on here? I mean, is it getting pressure on Baker? Is it shutting down the run game? Who gets the most pressure for the Buffalo Bills going into this Week 11 matchup?
Honestly, you got to shut down Baker. You got to limit his opportunities, make him feel uncomfortable, and get some pressure on him early. Don't let him. Now, being Tron Johnson being back, all these guys being back is big, because Omega Buga has looked phenomenal for the Buccaneers. It looks like, it genuinely looks like, and as we say that, Justin Fields just scored the first touchdown of the game for the Jets. Jets are up 7-0 right now against the Patriots. I think you got to shut down their underneath passing game, because they don't have a ton outside of Buka to, you know, they have Cade Ott and they have a few good pieces, but outside of Mega Buka, there's nothing that really is like, oh, this is the scary. He's kind of the Khalil Shakir for Baker Mayfield.
Buka coming in 40 receptions on the season, just shy of 700 yards receiving with 6 touchdowns. Yeah, he's going to be the guy to stop this weekend from the receiving core. On the ground here for Tampa, we talked about White. We'll see if he's healthy. It looks like he'll be good to go in this one. 325 yards in the year, 4 touchdowns. Yeah, like a third of what James Cook has rushing the football at this point.
Yeah. And you know what? If Bucky Irving's not going to be able to go, Rashad White's a capable back, but he's not a true, like, Devon Achane, legitimately, if I were calling the Dolphins, if I'm the Bills, I might have called about Devon Achane more than, apparently they wanted a second round pick for him, which I was like, that price is a little steep, especially going into a contract year. But I would really love, to be honest with you, seeing him and James Cook in the same backfield would have been a deadly combo.
That would have been nasty. No doubt about it. All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Buffalo and Tampa coming up Sunday from Highmark Stadium in Orchard Park, New York. Here, a 1 o'clock kickoff televised nationally on CBS. Final thoughts this week here, Alex.
You know, while yes, the Bills do feel partially broken, it's not a break of the old Bills where you're like, oh, this team is going to fall apart and be awful. And that's such a good feeling, to be honest.
It's true. There's a lot of football left to play. Shoot, we haven't even hit Thanksgiving yet. We still got some time, and you know what? We usually do our podcast on a Thursday. We're going to have to shift it into a Wednesday podcast, as Buffalo has a short turnaround time. They'll be back on the road to a place they have never won in Houston next week.
What a weird fact, Brad.
Granted, Houston hasn't been in the league horribly long, but the fact that they've never won at, what is it called? No, NRG Stadium? Yeah, that's something else.
Yeah. It is.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast. Find us online at drafthousesports.com and facebook.com/Buffalo Bills Draft House. Follow us on Twitter at DHS Buffalo. Follow Alex at TW Callahan DHS. Follow me at Bills Bruiser. What do you say, Alex? Go Bills.
Go Bills.
All right. Thanks so much for listening, folks. Go Bills.
This has been the Buffalo Bills Draft House Podcast.
Available on Spotify, Odyssey, Prime Music, Audible, or wherever you get your podcast.
An R Street Media production.